The Poet's Wife, written by Mandy Sayer and read by Casey Withers. One good thing about living in Sydney was that Yusuf's ex-girlfriends were now a long way away. At the time, international calls were prohibitively expensive and would only be made by the average person in the case of an emergency. No more late-night calls from Kansas or Seattle or, heaven forbid, Garden District and Snug Harbour. If they wanted to get in touch with him, they had to do it the old-fashioned way, in a letter, and one that would take a week to 10 days to reach him here in Sydney. One afternoon, our friend John Briggs dropped by to give us some mail that had arrived from the States. There were a couple of bills, a letter from Yusuf's mother, and a package from his publishers, Wesleyan University Press. After John left, Yusuf ripped open the parcel to find the galley proofs of his second collection. I apologise for the eyes in my head. He turned the title page and the imprint page, then his eyes narrowed and he said, "God damn it!" I glanced over his shoulder, wondering what was wrong. There, on the third page, in italics, was the dedication for Carolyn. The blood drained from my face as I gazed at the two simple words. Would this woman haunt me forever with her letters, admonitions, phone calls, and requests? "They made a mistake," Yusuf explained. "Remember back in Bloomington I showed you the new one, the revised one for you?" I nodded, remembering the afternoon he disappeared into the bedroom, the brief staccato of a typewriter, and returned with the touching dedication. "I posted it to my publishers months ago," he continued. "It must have got lost, or they didn't put it in." I nodded again and gazed out the window. When he repeated that there had been a balls up with the publishers, I believed him. Human error. Random fate. What did concern me, however, was how long it had taken Yusuf to switch his emotional allegiance from his ex-girlfriend to me. I thought back to the sequence of events that afternoon in Bloomington. The unexpected phone call from Carolyn, asking if she could come and stay with us. Yusuf's long, private conversation with her. And then, after hanging up, his disappearing to the bedroom and returning with the dedication. By that time, we'd already been married several months. The next time John dropped off mail for us, there was a letter from an old girlfriend of Yusuf's, a woman named Deborah, the one he'd been in a relationship with when he got involved with Carolyn. The second letter, on a crisp white page, was a reply from the head of the English department at Indiana University, delighted that Yusuf had accepted their offer of a tenured teaching position. There was one proviso, however. They wouldn't be able to commence his employment in January, as he'd requested. He'd have to wait until the beginning of the academic year in August. Part of me was deeply sad at the thought of going back, and another part of me was happy. At least we still had almost a year to live in sunshine, in Sydney.